Okay, good afternoon. Let me go ahead and call the City of Mesa Council Study Session of Monday, July 9th, 2007 to order. Our first agenda is to review the items for our council meeting this evening, beginning at 5:45. I'd like to excuse Councilmember Kyle from the study session and possibly the council meeting. We'll see what happens. I think they've had a little accident took place in the family. Somebody broke a arm or something, not Kyle, but I believe his wife is the report that I have, so we'll excuse Kyle and see if he shows up later. Anything on page one? Okay, page two.
Mayor?
Yes.
May, on item three, 3A, B, C, and D, we're asking for a continuance of that item to the August 13th meeting. We've got a few details that have come up here kind of last minute that we need to resolve, and applicant is aware of this and is agreeable to that continuance to the August 13th meeting.
Okay. Has the neighborhood been notified?
Yes.
Okay.
They were attempting to kind of in the short time we had to notify them, so hopefully they have been.
So we can read that then as a continuance to that date?
August 13th, yes.
All right. Any objection? All right. That puts us on page three. We have a hearing, a resolution, and an ordinance. And that's on, yes, Councilmember Griswold.
Does the vacating the portion of Standing Street still go if we're taking the other off, or is that
no.
D?
Continuing.
Oh, D's on
D is
okay,
also
good.
Being continued.
Thank you.
So this would be Minor Plan Amendment 07-09. Again, it's the hearing, resolution, and ordinance. And then there's a public hearing on General Minor Plan Amendment 07-10. Again, Vice Mayor.
And Mayor, I'm assuming that we can now put those on consent, 3A, B, C, and D on consent for continuance to August 13th, and we can have whoever's reading that read them in?
Correct.
Okay.
We will do so.
Thank
All
you.
Right. It's on page five. Councilmember Whalen.
Question on four. Kyle has a conflict on 4A and B. The fact he's not here, do we still have to take that off of consent?
There's one.
Public hearing.
Public hearing.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the other action.
I think because the public hearing has to go
correct.
First,
okay.
they all stay off.
He had another one, too.
I think four.
Four, he has another one. 4C.
Yeah, 4A, B, and C, I think.
They're all part of the public hearing?
Well, the public hearing has to go first before you address the other two, so they're all considered as
got
off.
It. Thank you.
Part of it is we read the consent agenda. If you read it first, then you could move the public hearing. So. Yeah, all right. Then on page four, General Plan Minor Amendment 0710, same thing, hearing, resolution, and ordinance are being brought forward. Puts us on page five, where we get into liquor license applications. Councilmember Summers.
I'm curious as to item 6C, Rubio's Fresh Mexican Grill. Have they resolved their issue with the fire building safety permits?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, they have not resubmitted their building plan, so at this time have not resolved.
So we cannot put that on consent. Do they know if this goes forward for a hearing and a no recommendation, what happens? If they're denied a liquor license, is that a year before they can reapply?
If the state board denies it.
Right. So the state board denies it, it could be another year before they can get a liquor license?
That's right.
And they know that?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
And they'll be here this evening.
Okay. I will not be in support. I will be recommending a no, because I think, we got to at least be fair. All these other restaurants and facilities have done what it takes to make sure that they're up to code and they've submitted their plans and they've played by the rules. We can argue whether the rules are right or not, but it's building safety and fire safety issues that need to be addressed here, so I'm going to recommend it go forward with a no vote. Thank you.
Okay, and if my memory serves me right, we make a recommendation, we have to state the reasons, and then someone from staff, the City of Mesa, goes to the hearing and represents our recommendation and says why.
That's correct.
Is that the procedure for this? So it will be important for the council members to indicate why they are voting no, so that record can be conveyed by whatever staff member represents us.
That's correct, Mayor. And if the council recommends denial, there will automatically be a hearing before the state board. If the council recommends that approval of the liquor license, unless there's some other objection, there will not be a hearing. It will just be decided by the board without hearing.
Okay. And the building safety issue being raised now, can they do a cure in between our negative recommendation and their positive?
They can. They can resubmit the plans, and once approved and accepted by the building staff, that we can notify the state of that.
Okay, so that's why they're here this evening.
That's right.
Wanting it to go forward, because our recommendation for approval or denial is, if they're going to come in with building safety plans prior, is immaterial.
That's their intention.
Okay, so all right. If I can make a motion for denial, then a contingent upon them getting their building permit submitted and approved, would that?
Yes, you can do that if you choose. And what we would do then is, and I think regardless of the motion, even if it was just a recommendation for denial, because they have failed to obtain their building permit, if in the interim between now and the hearing they did come in and they did receive approval of their plans, we would supplement the record with that in front of the state board, and at least let the board know that the basis for the council's recommendation of denial has now been satisfied. The board would take that into consideration.
Is that their intention to have all that paperwork submitted prior to the hearing?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Tom.
And just to clarify, that wouldn't change our recommendation, but we would essentially be, because our vote is a no vote, but then they could be advised that the reason for our no vote has been eliminated, and they can take that into consideration.
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, if the building permit was in and all the paperwork done, I'd be voting yes.
Right. No, I would too. I mean, I just think it makes sense that I don't want it to be in a position where somehow our no vote, our no recommendation, gets turned into a yes recommendation by the council because they comply. It's just information that gets supplied to the liquor board that says the reason for the denial has been remedied, but it's still a recommendation of denial from the city of Mesa.
And that's correct. And we would provide to them as well the minutes of the hearing so that they can see the discussion, that the sole concern of the council was their failure to comply in this item, which has now been resolved.
Okay. Are there any issues with this one besides the building safety? This isn't a little Trojan horse here, is it? That we focus
no,
on it.
There's no other issues besides the building permit.
Right. All right. Councilmember Griswold.
I just had a question on 6A and you stop on some of the police reports, DC1 calls only. Last year it was 6 plus 10 on all calls. I haven't seen this kind of police action, and one that we're considering in a long time. What is a... Explain the DC1 calls versus the all calls.
I'm going to have to ask someone from our police department to come up to explain.
Written and reported the one.
Okay. Because we've got it all over the board, from DUI to check welfare to child molesting. So I don't understand. If something's happening in your parking lot, it's not your fault. If you're calling on a bad guy, that's not a bad thing. If you're producing bad guys out of your facility, then that's probably not a good business. So I'm trying to interpolate this report. I don't know if anybody from PD can help me interpolate it, or if they have a copy of it, but it's a question I'd have upstairs. I'm almost ready to take this off consent and just want to discuss it.
Well, it's off consent now. Six, are you still
a.
on? Oh.
6A.
You're on 6A. All right,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
so
no, the same Rubio's is not open yet. Doesn't have any problems.
Okay. You want to pull it?
Yeah, go ahead and pull it right now and see if I can get the questions answered between now and then.
Okay, we'll take 6A off. Anything else on page 5? All right, page 6, contracts. Additional contracts on page 7, page 8. I received a memo. Is 7I back on or is it still off? I can't remember what it was. Oh, it's 7K.
7I is still off, Mayor. Still a potential conflict. 7K, we confirmed that you had no conflict.
We'll not have a conflict. All right, so we can leave that one on. Okay. So these are contracts up till page 9. Scott.
Thank you, Mayor. On 8A, the second part of this, we're looking at some no parking restrictions. One of these is in my area. Dan, we just had a conversation, I swear, a couple of weeks ago about hopscotch no parking in front of one business or another, and here we have this one piece of property. I believe we're putting in some no parking. I understand the reason. I support that. But then we have this one property owner that will be surrounded by no parking except in front of his or her property. So I guess the question I would have is, do we want to do that or just leave all the ones on the other side of that off until such time as we can make contact?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, we thought it was worthwhile pursuing. We have seven consecutive properties here, so we have a lengthy block of homes. Makes it easier to post. So we'd have a no parking begins and a couple of no parking signs in the middle and at the end of that ban, I guess it'll say no parking ends. So I think it'll be pretty clear. The more difficult ones are the standalone properties in the middle of a block. Say if you had two properties out of five or six, gets a little bit complicated, and sometimes people will steal like an ends plate or a begins plate. It makes it unclear in the field where the parking prohibition is truly. But we feel what happened in that one property is we weren't able to make contact. I think we had several tries. We may even have left the door hanger. My guess is if parking does extend that far into the neighborhood from the high school, that we'll hear from these people pretty quickly.
He's got two neighbors, looks like. Both of them have agreed to do no parking in front of their properties.
Correct.
And they couldn't get a hold of this person? No luck.
What often happens is we'll get a petition that is not complete and then takes staff time, and we do make an effort to do this. We'll try to get a record of the property owner, and we'll make contact, sometimes send a letter, sometimes a door hanger, say, please contact us regarding this. We weren't successful in this this time.
So we'll have a no parking begins here, and then on the other side of their block ends here?
Correct. And we wouldn't have done that if we didn't have a block of seven homes in a row who were very much in favor of this. This is how it proceeded last December. This is one of the items, frankly, that was on hold until we could discuss it further with council. And this is one that was proposed through TAB very much in this fashion and approved. And it was put on hold before it went to council. This is what the neighbors were expecting in this particular case.
I don't want it to be a trend. I think we had that conversation already, and we had some concerns in the other. So, but this is also combined. The other thing, too, is I think in the future, if we have something like this, and maybe I should have caught it earlier for you, but 8A probably should have been two different items, because I believe there are District 1 and District 6. Yeah, there are a bunch of items for my district that seem to be related to this project, and then District 1 is a separate.
Correct. All of the District 6 items were on this one report.
Right.
They're just north side of the street, south side of the street, east and west. So really there's only, I think, four streets affected here, or two streets, well, the exception of Lomita as well. So I guess there's five.
All right. I will move forward a little begrudgingly. I'm a little concerned about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go to page 10, resolutions. Followed on page 11. Vice Mayor.
What's the status on 9G? I think there were a couple of legal issues that were being worked on there. Did they all get resolved?
Vice Mayor, the mayor had some questions at the study session regarding the sublease to the schools.
Yeah.
And that was, and I don't recall the dates, I apologize. I think it was an express amendment to the underlying lease. So we had a lease with the historic museum that does not allow subleasing or assignment of any portion of the lease. Then in, I believe it was 1995, there was an amendment to that lease that expressly allowed for the sublease to allow for a charter school. That amendment said for up to 3 years, which would have expired in 1998. That amendment was not renewed. I think it's simply, I don't think there was a conscious decision to allow or disallow, so the charter school has continued. The way the conveyance is now written is that it will expressly allow the sublease or the conveyance to the charter school will be permitted. So there will be two permitted uses. One will be for the museum, the second will be for a charter school.
Okay.
Vice Mayor, let me just, there's some, I guess, additional information to that. There has been a lease renewed since that time, and even a more recent renewal as of the end of June of this year. But those agreements have only been between the school and the Historic Society. Whether or not staff gave direction that that's how it should have proceeded or not, but there are copies of those leases between those two entities, at least, and most recently, the one that was signed at the end of June and expires, I think, in 2010.
That's right. Correct, and I apologize. I was speaking more between the City of Mesa and the museum. There is a lease between the museum and the charter school.
That was my understanding. My understanding was also that at some point along the way that the Historical Society had approached us and said we need to get this renewed, and it hadn't happened yet.
I have heard that, too. I don't have the background on that, though.
But this will take care of that, taking of getting this so that sublease is acceptable.
It will allow the use of a charter school.
Okay. Thank you.
Vice Mayor, Claire, that doesn't necessarily change the action of the council today. That relationship and those subleasing has been going on since 1995, and they've been renewing, increasing the terms or increasing the amount of the lease during that period of time. So the action of the council really would then, it doesn't really materially affect that at all. It just takes us out of the position of concurring with the for them to have the opportunity to sublease that property.
Understood. I just want to make sure that what we were doing here cleared up the problem with allowing them to have that sublease. I'm not opposed to it. I think it's been a positive thing all the way around.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Let's keep the item pulled. Or I'd like to pull it if it's not.
That's what you're asking. Okay, sure.
Yeah. The question I had is also, what is the, I think the original lease was like $6,000 a year, which is $500 a month or $250 an acre. I would assume they're probably substantially more than that when they renew, but I haven't heard the figure for what this last renewal was and what portion of their funding budget that represents.
Mayor, Council, I did find out that the lease that they have is $40,000 per year that they're getting from the school. What the portion of the overall percentage of the budget of the Historical Museum, I don't know, but it is a new figure, the $40,000 per year that they're getting.
Okay. And if we convey this property, does it get conveyed with the idea that they can continue to lease it to charter schools, or they can do their master plan? Are those the two restrictions, or are there any restrictions?
The restrictions in the resolution specifically state that it's for the museum or a charter school are only the two uses that are allowed.
Okay, and what was the understanding with Mesa Schools when we were granted that with a quick claim deed from Mesa Schools? Is the charter school something that's important to them to maintain in that area?
I'm not quite sure. I don't know if Tommy had asked Tom if there was any history. The information that we have on the D is pretty general.
Mr. Mayor, there was a land swap between Mesa Public Schools and the City of Mesa that just exchanged land, and I don't think that the original land swap necessarily suggested that that land be used for a charter school.
You remember the other parcel that was swapped on the other side?
I can get it for you. I have it here, but I can't remember. It was about 8 acres and 11 acres that were swapped. One was up on Country Club, and I'll look it up while you're...
Okay. All right. I was around at that time, and I was just trying to refresh my memory on how that worked. All right. I'll probably call you up upstairs to get a little bit more information. And I see Mr. Kavanaugh's in the audience. The other thing I'm trying to figure out is if we convey this land... You know, with the Mark Center and some of the rest, I understand the programs they're doing, but I haven't seen the master plan for what they're going to do, whether they're going to mortgage this, finance it, just continue to make sure they have the charter school revenue to subsidize their budget. So I'd like a little more information on why the urgency or the request to do a conveyance at this time. It's at least for 3 more years, so that would be helpful for me upstairs if I could get that information.
Tom. Thank you, Mayor. If we're through with 9G, out 9I.
All right.
I just wanted to, I've read section 7.01 of utilities of the lease, and it says that the lessee shall be responsible for and shall pay all utilities. We had talked about it in terms of the utilities would be in their name. Is that what we intend by this language? Is that what we're accomplishing?
Yes, Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, the utilities will be transferred into their name. We will provide a credit into their account that they'll draw down from, but as soon as they're out of those funds, the responsibility will be on the senior center to pay the difference.
Okay, and I fully agree with that. There is a difference between saying that they're responsible and having the utilities in their name, because if they're in our name, but we're going to look to them for anything over and above the $86,000, that's not the kind of protection that I was looking for, and so I want to make sure that we're intending that they be in their name, but we're going to give them so much money to help cover their utilities.
Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, the East Valley Service Center already signed an agreement to go ahead and put into their name, so it's being established.
Okay, thank you.
Good question. Anything else on page 11? Page 12?
Mayor?
Yes.
On item 10A, that's an annexation request. We've had some contact with the applicant in this case today. She would like to have this continue to the August 13th meeting to continue to evaluate some of the issues involved with this annexation.
Okay. But August 13th?
August 13th, yes.
Okay. Let's go ahead and put it on consent for continuance to August 13th then. And read that in. Anything else on page 12? Page 13? More zoning cases, page 14, and subdivision plat. Okay, anybody have an item that we missed? Let us go then to item number two of the study session, which is hear a presentation and provide direction on the school resource officer program.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, council members. Here with me today is Dr. Duvall from the Mesa School District and Dr. Allison from the Gilbert School District. What we'd like to do is we'd like to discuss with you a potential agreement to resolve the SRO situation in our schools. We have run some numbers and we have a proposal that both of the school districts are ready to support in order to continue coverage for SROs into our schools in this current or this coming year. One of the things, if you recall, that several months ago we discussed the possibility of having retirees do the work, and we're still in the process of exploring that. Human resources is currently looking at the process that the city of Tempe has used, which is a contract situation. We actually went out to Mesa retirees to try to see what level of interest we would get. We have six individuals that have replied, but we still don't have a mechanism to make this occur, and obviously these people, some of them have been gone for quite some time, so they would have to go through a background investigation in order to meet the state requirements as well as training. And so we believe that the most reasonable thing in order to meet the necessary staffing levels for this current school year would be to continue to have full-time police officers, and we believe that we have a financial arrangement that is reasonable, and assuming that you agree, then that would be the way that we would proceed. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to have Lisa Quiddens kind of walk you through the numbers. Lisa.
Good afternoon. As you recall, during the last budget cycle, we eliminated seven SRO positions in the junior highs. What we did was we worked with the schools to come up with a plan. They have agreed to pay for 10 months out of the 12-month salary, so they'll pay about 83% of the cost of a full-time officer. If you look at the seven that were eliminated from the Mesa Junior Highs, the net cost to the city would be about $109,000. Again, that's 83% of the total salary. Gilbert has also agreed to the same scenario, and the net cost to the city would be about $31,000 on that, again at 83%. Now, because the seven positions were eliminated, we would request that contingency fund be allocated to fund the net city cost, because those positions have been removed from our actual budget allocations.
Okay. Just a second. Did you say seven officers at 109?
Net to the city.
Okay, that doesn't compute to me. If I divide seven into 109, I don't think an officer is working for that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the school districts are paying 83%.
Numbers are upside down. I got you then. Thank you very much. Go ahead then. All right, that's...
We're a little bit more expensive than that.
That's what I was... All right, continue, please. Sorry.
Okay. Mesa Public Schools, again, reduced it by seven. One thing they've asked for, if we could possibly fund an additional few SROs, anywhere between 7 and 12. So I guess we're going to ask your guidance today as to how you wish us to proceed. Again, 10 would cost the city $157,000 as opposed to the $109,000, and 12 would cost the city about $190,000. So there is a significant difference that we would have to fund through contingency.
Mayor, let me just jump in here. I think, Chief, you and I talked about when we do this, we're not going to fund it out of contingency. I don't want to count, because we keep talking about contingency. The plan that we would do is move forward with is initially trying to make it work within the police department budget over the next year. And then at the end of the year, we would determine if there's the savings, if there's any savings realized within the police department budget, that could go towards paying for this difference. And then ultimately at the end of the year, not the full amount here, I'm assuming there'll be some savings, we may have to look for some contingency amount. I don't want to take the position right off at the beginning, we're going to fund all this out of contingency. I'm assuming that we'll have some level of savings that we can fund out of the police department budget for this program. And a budget of this magnitude, I think we'll probably be able to cover most of that through some kind of savings during the year. But really, I guess the question, what's changed here is we didn't have these in the budget that was recently adopted. These funds were not identified because we were under the hope that we were going to be able to bring in others, retirees and others, to do the program. Under this program, which actually in some ways may be better because we'll have the certainty of having trained police officers or experienced who can start, and frankly the generosity of the school district to step up in a big way for this program, this probably is a good way to start out. And then Chief, ultimately, and if during the year, during the time we able, or maybe even next year, we pick up some additional qualified individuals who can step in and do this program on the, I hate to use the word part-time, but contract base, that's the word I'm looking for, we would bring them on too, and ultimately that could realize some additional savings over time. Is that correct?
That's correct. If we're able to work with a contract basis, then the full cost of the labor costs will be borne by the school districts, and the only thing that the police department will do is pay for their equipment and supervision. One of the things that has kept us from making this happen is there have been some discussions with HR as to how can you do this legally, especially people that have retired already, and the impacts on the retirement plans and so on and so forth. The 10P model is that these individuals become contract employees, but we have not been able to solidify that could be done in Mesa, so HR is handling that piece. And as a result of that, the discussion came up with the two school districts agreeing to pay basically for 10 months out of the 12 months. Also, I should point out to you that although the Mesa School District would like to have more than seven, more than likely we will only be able to allocate seven at this point and the two to the Gilbert School District. And Gilbert's intention is to have one that would share two middle schools and that will actually put one into a high school, which they will again pay that 83%. As the school year continues, if we're able to get some retirees, then it would probably go to add to the additional requests by the Mesa School District, and then by the school year 08-09, they will have to reevaluate and see what we are with the retirees.
Okay, questions? Vice Mayor.
Thank you. Over the weekend, I think a lot of us heard that there was a problem with the funding for the SROs for the high schools. Deb, how does that factor in? Dr. Duvall, how does that factor in?
Claudia, Deb is fine.
Thanks.
But Mrs. Walters, we have not received notification from the Arizona Department of Education exactly what our funding will be for the high school SROs. Currently, our high school SRO grant pays not only for the SROs at our six comprehensive high schools, but it also pays for the one at the Hendricks Junior High School, which is part of the Chandler School District. we are probably going to find ourselves in a situation similar to what you've heard here today, depending upon what that grant will be. We certainly feel it's important to maintain the SROs at the high schools, like we're trying to include them in the junior highs for next year. So we'll manage to the degree that we can, and if push comes to shove, we'll have to look at the high school grants, current funding of a junior high officer.
It's just been such an important program, having those officers there. I know what a difference it's made.
Well, we feel strongly, especially after the past year, where we have hired very competent security specialists and security monitors at the seven junior highs that did not have SROs this year, that as we've looked at our data from the past school year, we feel it's imperative to at least retain seven SROs at the junior highs, at selected junior highs, as we go into this next school year. And your budget and ours, the availability of dollars from both of our budgets, if there's a possibility to continue to increase that number from 7 to 8 to 10 to 14, that would be our intent over the years.
And I think we'd like to see that. This was not one of those programs that we got rid of because we didn't like it.
Yeah, I think most of us are familiar with what caused the reduction to begin with, and we're all sorry that that had to occur, but we knew at the time that this was a possibility. So at least the school district was able to plan appropriately for the 07-08 school year, or 06-07 school year, and now we're looking at what we can ensure in terms of providing the necessary oversight on our campuses for 07-08.
Well, thanks to you and the governing board. We really appreciate it. Chief, you're going to have some extra officers 2 months out of the year. So what kind of great stuff do we get to have as a result of that?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things to bear in mind here. It's going to be one of the things that the prior SRO program had is that the officers were working, they were working a five-day week, but they were working 9 hours a day. They were guaranteed some overtime. We have removed that from the process. They're going to be basically working 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. Now, the rest of our officers work at 410. So recruitment for this functions is going to be very, very tough. Quite frankly, we anticipate that we're going to have to force some people to take this assignment. So that being the case, one of the things that we're looking for is at least the availability of them taking vacation during the vacation time for the schools. So I would suspect that when it's all said and done, we're not going to get a lot of work out of those officers when the school is off, because they're going to be taking time off. We'll get some of it, but not a great deal.
And I seem to recall that part of the reason for going with the retired officers is that you thought it would be a cost savings to the city. I mean, you wouldn't have the money that would have to go into the state retirement system and some of those kinds of things by hiring a contract employee.
Yeah, for the city would be the only cost to the city would have been equipment and supervision. The school districts were going to pay for the entire cost, and they would only be paid for the hours that schools are functioning, the days that the schools are functioning. And we still want to continue to explore that. It's just what we have seen after sending letters to retirees for the last several years, seeing the return that we're getting. We've gotten 6 interest cards. We're going to look beyond the Mesa Police Department also. But it's still, even today, we don't have the mechanism to do it because the HR wants to explore different possibilities.
Okay. Well, I think it's still worth it to go. And you obviously do, too. You're moving ahead with that. But that would mean that hopefully that would bring down the cost for you all and would bring down the cost for us.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, Tom.
I just want to make sure that I understand where we are today. Were there 0 SROs in the 07-08 budget?
For the
junior? There was 0. So what we're talking, so we cut half in 06-07 and then we cut the other half in 07-08, which is what we said we would do.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're coming back and saying, can you give us at least a minimum of 7 positions? We pay 17%, the school district pays 83%. If we can identify more savings, et cetera, throughout the year, we'd like to increase that number and hopefully find a baseline for, as you said, 08, 09, et cetera.
Correct.
Okay.
May I just quickly, Mayor, Councilman Vols, and I think what I was concerned about is, we told you that at the very, very beginning part of the budget process, and so my concern was
we hadn't represented to you that we were going to be able to provide the SROs through the retiree program, that might have been a higher priority in the budget. We might have found a way to address it in another way. So I just, that's why I wanted to come back around today to make sure you understood what
we were. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the effort made to try to find, use the right retirees, reduce the cost of the city. This was not a program that any of us wanted to cut, whether we were in favor or opposed to the precipitating event. This was not something that any of us were happy to see on the chopping block. So I like the fact that the school districts have stepped up and agreed to pay the 83%. I think that a 17% number for seven, I don't want to go beyond seven today because these are the first time I've heard these numbers. It's the first time I've heard this process. I don't, you can't ask me to buy 150,000, 140,000, but maybe more when you're just asking me for the 140, but it's something I'm willing to look at for the rest of the summer when we come back, see if there's some additional funding available, whatever. But I'm certainly happy to do the seven, and I think that the school districts deserve, both of them deserve a great deal of credit for being willing to do that, and the chief for finding a way to make it happen.
Just a quick clarification, seven for the Mesa School District and two for Gilbert.
I understand that. It's a total of nine. I didn't mean to. We kept focusing on seven up to eight, up to 10 to 12, whatever.
Right.
I understand it's a total of nine. Total of about 140, if I remember, 109 and 31. So it's 140 total. Not to come directly out of contingency, but to be
challenging the chief and his staff to find the savings, and then we'll deal
right.
with it.
Right, and if you can't make it, then we'll discuss
we'll talk
contingency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just late, remember, though, we keep getting funded or overtime at the pay scale of 3 years ago, so, you know, there's only so much that can be squeezed out of a lemon, and we're running out of juice.
The way I look at it, this can be a budget exercise for the latter half of June of next year after I'm off the council.
Thank you both for working this out, and I commend you on the 5/8. I think it's been a long time coming. I think you can find some dedicated people who won't have to be forced to do it, Chief.
We hope you're right.
You know, it would be nice to have a sense of community from some of the officers and realize that they're there for a good purpose. I would hate for someone to not want to be there, because that would be more detrimental to the students, I think, than having somebody there. It's a tough job. It's an extremely difficult job. It takes a great personality to make it work. But what a better place to role model for a young citizen than a solid police officer in that respect.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Question?
Yeah, if I could just mention, I do appreciate the efforts of the council to help us out. In our area of East Mesa, where the Gilbert Public Schools is, we've asked the parents out there in informal surveys and such whether or not the importance of an SRO, and they're very supportive. We look upon the SRO as another staff member. They're important as a chemistry teacher, an English teacher, whatever. That's the way it is now, and we have, you know, there's small towns up there. Desert Ridge High is like Mesa High School's. It's 2,400 and growing. And it's important that we believe it's important that we have an SRO at those campuses for safety's sake, for the students, and again as a role model for our students. Desert Ridge is in a little bit of a difference than the Mesa high schools in the fact that when Desert Ridge was built, there was no longer any grants available from the Safe Schools Project to fund that. So we have to fund the whole thing by ourselves, which is fine. We're willing to do that, but if there is any consideration to be given at any time in the future, we gladly take it because of that unique situation, because we just don't have that grant for Desert Ridge because it was built later than it was built after the grants were cut off. So again, thank you for your great police officers that you've sent us. We'd be very pleased with the officers. And with the support right from the chief to the lieutenants to the sergeants, we've got great cooperation, so thank you.
Okay, let me ask one question of the chief. It's $140,000. Obviously, the match is nice, the 83, 17%, but is this the priority where you'd spend the $140,000?
I think it is, Mr. Mayor. One of the things that we know is that when we have school resource officers, we are able many times to intervene before we have a crisis. The school resource officers are able to tell us what, you know, gang issues before they occur. They get to know the student body really well. Frankly, we rely, when we don't have them there, many times we have to tie up radio cards handling calls that would normally be handled by a school resource officer. They develop a lot of expertise in the area of abuse, sexual issues in the family. So they're able to do a lot of things that if we don't have them there, we end up tying up a radio card. And many times, because we don't have anybody inside the campus, quite frankly, when we get there as a crisis, that could have been avoided had we had a resource officer there.
Okay, thank you. What action do you need? Yes. Councilmember Griswold first.
Yeah, I've taught for over 10 years in most all the high schools as a business class, and I've taught before the police officers are in the school and after, and I preferred it after. I also watch students build a bond and a trust, and they would share things with a police officer on the campus. They'd never flag down a patrolman going by and share information. I watched students that were expelled that used to hang around outside and cause trouble all of a sudden move away from campuses far away. It was a good thing for the safety of the students, et cetera. So finding the money to do this, thank you very much, Chief. Thank you. With school districts coming together, I think this is a good program. And I would look forward to finding retired officers who will do it, because we're already short-staffed in our police department, and pulling about 1% of our policemen off the streets to put in schools. It will reduce crime that way, but it's still going to leave us very much understaffed on the streets. So thank you.
Okay. Scott.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be brief, just a bit of a sidebar if we could, Dr. Duvall, and anybody wants to chime in, because I can hear the questions now. Why are we putting SROs in Gilbert schools? Shouldn't the town of Gilbert be paying for them? And the answer, of course, is that city boundaries are not contiguous to school districts. So where is Gilbert schools? Are they indeed in the city of Mesa? I know the answer to this, but if you would.
Mr. Allison.
Yes, we are in the city of Mesa. In fact, one-third of our school district is in the city of Mesa, and one-third of our excellent students come from the city of Mesa, and we're very interested in looking after their needs and wants as much as any of our students. So we work very, again, closely with not only the city of Mesa Police Department, but the transportation area, the roads, and everything else, and we have a good relationship. So, yeah, that's the unique part of the boundaries. I guess they were established back even before Gilbert and Mesa kind of even existed. So that's
I do believe I have five school districts. Not all of them have schools, but there, I think there are five school districts in my district. Unfortunately, one's named Queen Creek, one's named Gilbert, one's named Mesa, and it has nothing to do with the city boundaries.
Right.
We're paying for SROs, and the reason I ask this question, I just want everybody to understand, we are paying for SROs in Mesa schools. The school districts may vary somewhat, but these are Mesa schools, Mesa citizens, Mesa children who are going to them. That's who we're interested in protecting. Thank you very much.
Okay. Chris.
Mayor, just to answer your question, we just need to get the direction from the council so we can move forward. We'll essentially just do an overhire and adjust the budget and bring that to the council. As we get closer to the end of the year, we'll give you an idea of where we are in year-end estimates.
So moved.
I don't think it's on the agenda for action, though, is it?
Provide direction. It says provide direction.
It is. Yeah. All right. Got a motion, second. Any discussion?
You mentioned that the officers are considered like part of the staff, just like a chemistry teacher and an English teacher. I appreciate that, but I just don't want to set a precedent here, and you're going to come in asking for 17% of their salaries.
I think I'm on the agenda for the next meeting.
Good luck.
I
forward
that to the Gilbert.
Yeah, we have a motion and second to.
May I ask one quick? Do we need an IGA? Is that something that we're going to have to follow up with?
Plus, we can visit, but we'll get the directions
that we can do that.
Okay, this is for 9, 7 in Mesa, and 2 in Gilbert. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. With one absence, Councilmember Jones is absent. Thank you. Item number 3 is hear reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Let me go through a couple of them. The ribbon cutting out on the 202. opening it up from the Super Red Tan up to University. The Embraer dedication out at Williams Gateway. This is a Brazilian company that's going to do maintenance on some brand new jets that will bring in, I think it's about an $8 million investment in the building and about 60 employees that will be employed out there. Had a split vote at the Metro Rail. There was some discussion about Mayor Hallman, myself, who wanted to rotate in to be chairman. It was a 4-1 vote for me to take it for 6 months, and it was 4-1 in favor of me taking it, so it lost on a procedural 50-50 weighted vote by the City of Phoenix. And the City of Phoenix then will remain chair of that organization. So it's the first one of the weighted votes that's been cast. So I thought that was interesting. Anything that is a split vote without Phoenix's concurrence does not pass. It doesn't lose, but died for lack of having more than 50%. So it was just fun to go through that procedural vote. And at noon today, the MAG Executive Committee, there's some stand money that's coming that the West Valley wants $10 million of to pay for their interest cost for the acceleration of the I-10. So I was objecting to that. I thought we ought to get in line and we ought to get reimbursed for the Red Mountain and some of the projects we've done in the East Valley with acceleration of projects. That didn't meet well with some of my West Valley colleagues. So we'll have continuing discussions of how that'll all play out. And that was a legislated bill, so it's a little more complicated than I'm explaining it right now. But I think it's just a bad precedent to have special legislation coming through that earmarks money for one side of the valley versus the other when it's a regional system. And I thought it ought to go through a different process, so that's why I objected to the way it seemed to be proceeding. So that's my report. Anyone else have any updates? Okay. Scheduling of meetings and general information, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Good news. Council, our next meeting is until August 13th. That'll be a Monday. We'll have an early study session, since that'll be the first time the council will have an opportunity to ask questions about the items on the agenda. So that's the 13th, and then we'll get into our regular meetings with the 16th being a Thursday study session, the 23rd a study session, and the second meeting in August will be August 27th. Thank you.
Question.
Yes.
Ballot language is due the 26th. Your note said you're going to email it to us. We don't have to take any action on that?
No. It's due on the 24th, but no, it doesn't require council action. The statute states that it would be drafted by the city clerk and in conjunction with myself. We'll provide it as soon as it's ready, and obviously if you have any comments, we'd be willing to meet with you and talk through it with you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Rex.
On that issue, if there was something that would seem to be unclear to the average reader, we can still change it at that time?
Uh-huh. Up until the point that it's submitted to the county. But yeah, we will provide it to you, which we typically do. We send it to the council either in a resolution form or in a memo form. And if you believe there's something unclear, we'd be certainly willing to talk with anyone.
Some of them, and it's before your time, been written in legalese that it's very hard for someone to understand vote yes or no. So I would just want to make sure it's very clear. Thank you.
Okay. Pre-scheduled public opinion, are there any requests?
None, Mayor.
Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn study session. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We adjourn.